Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-ASK-DELL to talk to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find just the right tech. That's 877-ASK-DELL or visit dell.com/businessdeals.
Everywhere you look these days, things are starting to come back. Football, school, the institutions that make up the fabric of our lives. So there's no better time to come back and visit another enduring Memphis institution, Oak Hall. Seriously, if you haven't been back, stop in and see them today. You'll find the same helpful people and the same beautiful clothing. I know I always feel restored just walking through the place. Pick up some shorts or knit shirts from Peter Millar. Get yourself something for the outdoors. I've loved stopping in at Oak Hall on a fall weekend just to browse. And since you'll likely be watching the football games on TV this year, it's a way of getting a little taste of normal back in your lives. During the last 6 months, I think we've all learned how much relationships matter. Relationships with family and friends, and also with the institutions and places that we hold dear. For a whole lot of Memphians, Oak Hall is one of those places. So stop in and see your old friends sometime soon.
We're brothers. We're happy and we're singing and we're
It's Jason and John on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Who that? Who that? Hey, who that? Who that? Man, this what you been waiting for. I mean, the game was all bad just a week ago. Rappers was listening, I ain't hating, though, because now I'm getting hot enough to we want to stay at home. And she can't tell the difference. I've been through hell conditions, wishing for air conditioning, feeling God was never listening. Now I'm on television. And did I fail the mission? Your girl is hot, a missionary, boy, you failed the mission. Speaking of positions, just witness how I elevated. Real if you celebrated, finger poke whoever hated. My life accelerated, but had to wait my turn. Then I redecorated, that mean my table turned. Live life, might as well, only way to learn is try and fail. Clients are the only way to earn. So if you're selling, or if you're selling rap, make sure it's mean so the fiends keep on selling back. Who that, who that, I got that flame. Who that, I got that flame. Who that, I got that flame. So don't worry about my name. I got a flame.
All right. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN, and we are rolling into this hump day, September 16th, because there's so much to talk about. In fact, when it comes to sports news today, our cup runneth over. There is no question about it, because why? Big Ten football coming back. NCAA basketball Division I coming back. There'll be a vote on that by the D1 Council today, we believe, late November. That's good. You know who's also coming back? The Denver Nuggets. Complete one of the greatest comebacks again in playoff history. Clippers gone. You know who's not coming back, though? SCS and Fall Sports. That decision made yesterday by Superintendent Joris Ray. They will not be back. While the rest of the state pushes on, and I got a few things to say about that. We'll get all into it. But, John, what in terms of sports news, we haven't had a day like this, right, where you look around, there's a story in every corner in quite a while, have we?
No. I mean, this feels like a sports equinox, doesn't it?
Everything coming together.
Yeah. There was actually the other day, last Thursday,
yeah,
was the first time in the history of the world where, like, all of the leagues, all of them, like, all of the major leagues.
Oh, I don't guess we talked. We noted that, did we?
Played on the same day.
Wow.
Like, from every
true?
Sport, like golf, tennis, baseball.
MLS?
Basketball, soccer. Like they all played September whatever day that was. That was the real sports.
Well, then we kind of have sort of had a day like
that. But we're having another. It's like the NFL commercial. It's all coming back. It's all coming back to me now.
I like the Titans fans and that dancing.
That was an I got chills in that commercial.
I think Pinheiro, our former kicker, made it in there too.
He did. For some reason,
he's gone.
But yeah, it does feel like everything is bike, except Shelby County Sports. Yeah,
that's unfortunate.
And yes, and also Jarvo not on road games. That's not coming back this year.
What?
Jarvis Greer opted out of road games.
Oh, we did.
Yeah,
I missed that.
That was announced by the University of Memphis.
So he's on home games, but I wrote.
Yeah, he will be the analyst for all home games.
That's the Russell Copeland news?
Yes.
Due
to COVID-19 concerns and required quarantines after travel, Jarvo not going to be working any road games during the 2020 season.
I mean, that's unfortunate. I love to listen to Jarvo.
Yeah.
We'll get him half the season.
So Jarvo on the road and Shelby County Sports are about the only thing we're missing. In 2020, we will get to that, Jason, here in just a moment. We got a big show planned for you today. Mark Giannotto is going to join us at 11:25. We'll talk to him about Shelby County news. It's obviously a controversial decision to a lot of people, and we'll get his thoughts on that at 11:25. 12:25, Freddie Coleman's going to hop on the show. He will join us from ESPN Radio, and we'll talk about the collapse, like you mentioned. Doc Rivers has now lost. He is the only coach in NBA history to lose three different series after being up 3-1. That is not a good place to be.
My Lord. That's who you're going to put this on, Doc.
Huh? I'm just pointing it out.
That's a lot of games. That's a lot of game seven losses.
I was with some people last night, and I'll admit it, when they said it, I was like, what?
I don't need to lose another black coach, John.
But they said.
But he's lost a lot of game seven.
His game seven history, and especially after being up 3-1, is not good. Wait. He's got to go.
Well, they can't trade Paul, right? They gave up a king's ransom for him. You can't give up Kawhi, so you kind of got to just run it back. You're stuck. And just from the sense that you want to shake things up or say you're changing them, that's. Yep. The target might be on Doc's back. I doubt it. I feel like it's going to be – the excuses will work. John, we didn't play enough together all year long. Maybe that'll work with Ballmer. Yeah. You get in there, have him blow some steam off, and maybe you come back and you run it back.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens there. Freddie Coleman will join us at 12:25. We'll talk about that. Also, one of the all-time great blocks in the history of basketball.
Oh, my gosh.
Last night.
He did it to my dude, light-skinned LeBron. Got blocked at the rim by Bam.
Has LeBron ever been blocked at the rim like that?
Oh, come on. It's happened plenty in a 17-year career?
I mean, maybe it's happened once or twice.
Oh, dude, Jared Allen got LeBron.
But not in a game seven for the win.
You give light-skinned LeBron I was telling this. You give light-skinned LeBron about 2-3 more years.
Game one, I should say.
When he's up to about 230, 235, because you see that 6'8 frame.
He's
only at 210.
He's adding.
Like, he's got the shoulders of LeBron. If you look close, he'll break Bam's hand in a couple of years coming up. That also let Jimmy Butler man him to the goal earlier in the game. Now he did the right thing, took it to the basket, didn't settle like he did at the end of regulation. But man, you got to give credit where it's due. Bam came over, timed it perfectly. Great block, one of the best blocks we've seen in playoff history.
One of the greatest blocks of all time, absolutely. Just totally rejected him at the rim. And then, like you said, Jimmy Butler on the other end.
Stood.
And won. The Miami Heat continue to roll.
Miss him as a bull.
In the playoffs. So we'll talk to Freddie Coleman about all of that at 12:25. Then at 1:25, Myron Metcalf is going to hop on the show.
Myron.
He covers college basketball. Does ESPN Radio. So we'll get into the news of the day. The Big Ten deciding to come back. College basketball, when they're going to start their schedule, what he thinks about Memphis, lots more to get into with Myron Metcalf. He'll join us at 1:25. So that's the show today. Looking mighty forward to it, but you mentioned it. The news yesterday was Joris Ray, superintendent for Shelby County Schools, announced on Twitter that there will be no fall sports until further notice because of COVID-19 concerns. We actually have that announcement. We'll get into it a little bit here.
As an educator and administrator in Shelby County Schools, the decisions I've had to grapple with during this pandemic have been some of the hardest to deliver to you, our student athletes, coaches, and staff. despite collaborative efforts in the district and locally to reduce the spread of the coronavirus. There is still far too much uncertainty to move forward with athletic practices and competitions at this time. Our decision to postpone contact sports until further notice is yet another unimaginable consequence of an unprecedented time. We must lean on the guidance of health experts and not emotions. We want to play. Your coaches want to play. And we still hope for the opportunity to do both when conditions improve. Consider this. Local infectious disease specialist Dr. Manoj Jain cautions that given the uncertainties around the novel coronavirus and the undiagnosed number of cases in our community, contact sports are a bad idea at the present time.
So that's basically the gist of the announcement, right? That they're leaning on some medical experts here in the city of Memphis, and through that, they have determined that it is not quite safe to play. And this is also, it also goes back to the fact that they are not in person in class right now, right?
Right.
There is no in-person school in Shelby County. They're all virtual, despite the fact that there are plenty of schools in Memphis that are in school. My wife teaches at Crosswind. They are in person. Houston High School, pretty much all the suburbs, right? Pretty much all the suburbs. Is Bartlett a part of Shelby County, or are they separate?
They're separate now.
Are they in person?
They're playing. I think they just had a big upset this weekend, football.
Okay.
Bartlett's playing on its own. It's
so
its own system.
So all the suburbs are in, and for the most part. And none of the Shelby County schools are. So that's the gist of it.
CBHS they beat.
Yeah, oh, wow. They beat
CBHS. As a side note, they're playing and winning.
Yeah, so he outlined some of the things that he would like to see. We've had him on the show, so we know. Single digit.
Said the exact same thing with us.
Yeah, single digit cases for 14 days. Now, maybe he expanded it to the teens.
Single digits is what he wanted. Teens was with us. Single digits is what he's harped on.
Yeah.
And listen, the reason we're starting with this is because it affects, you know, hundreds of student athletes here in Memphis, coaches, an entire athletic community. And we're talking about SCS, obviously, biggest school district in the state.
Yep.
So this affects a lot of people. It's why we're on this rather than the meltdown. We've got time for all that. Here's where I'm at on this. Listen to Jeff a little bit on this morning, and he lays out something I think we fundamentally all agree with, that if you're not going to be in class, right, the idea of playing football, playing sports, and you're still virtual from school, they just don't go together. But the learning more important, and if you can't be in class, then you shouldn't be out playing. And that's basically where Joris Ray is at right now, the superintendent. I need you to listen very carefully because this is where I diverge from the rest of that. Joris Ray knew this. If the goal, John, is to get down to single digits in new cases for 14 straight days, which he said now for 3 weeks, said it with us a while back, teens, single digits, that's where they want this thing, right? Before you can talk about the return to school, which we all said needs to be first, right? We all fundamentally agree with. Brother, you weren't getting here anytime soon to single digits and teens, new number of new cases per day. How many we have yesterday, John? Triple digits again?
Yep. Now, it was a weird day because, like, they dumped, like, 100,000
number
tests.
Of tests. And, again, tests are increasing. So let's go back to the goal.
Today there was 174 new cases. But, that was against about 3,400 new tests, which is a positivity rate of 7.2%, which is low.
At this time, you need leadership that's clear and transparent. And I'll give Joris Ray this. He didn't change on what the goal was, right? The goal was to get to single digits to teens and new cases for 14 straight days. We're a long way from that. Mm-hmm. But here's the problem. You kept stringing along kids and coaches saying, maybe it'll get better. I mean, those aren't your words, but that's essentially what you're saying in your actions by postponing the decision. While the rest of the state continues to play, Nashville now is coming back to play, and so you've got kids and coaches saying, well, they're doing it. You got it right here in your own backyard. Private schools down the road. We heard Jeffrey talking about how close Ridgeway and MUS are, and they absolutely are. They're right there on the same street, but you got one that can play and one that can't. So for those kids, that's all they see. That's all they know. Joris Ray knew 3 weeks ago with us, John, that the likelihood of Memphis getting to a point where there are single-digit new cases or teens in terms of new cases, we could be looking at late 2021, 22. And so what you got to do is what we've said has been the right thing to do is give these kids a choice. Be real with them, mm-hmm. right? That's where leadership comes in, rather than stringing along. Because, again, I tell you, you had to know a fool could tell you if that was the goal to get there, you ain't getting there anytime soon. So cut it off and do this. Give them a choice. You heard kids who aren't going to get a chance to play football field and elsewhere saying, man, I just want an opportunity to go get a scholarship, all that kind of stuff, to show my stuff on tape. Give them a choice to transfer out,
yep.
to leave to a place where they are playing. I appreciate that Joris Ray is putting safety first, but the goal here was always unrealistic if you thought you were getting back anytime soon. Mm-hmm. He didn't. And yet he continued to string them along as if, okay, maybe a week from now, hey, we'll do it early next week. Or maybe a week from now, we're going to postpone it. No, man. With the goals that you had, you should have shut the thing down and gave kids, and more importantly, parents, a chance to choose. And in that case, we'd say, hey, you want to transfer out? You want to go join another team that's playing or another school? You can go. Hey, you want to be in person learning? You can go. You know, you give them that opportunity instead of stringing them along. Because now, John, these teams have pushed forward. You're talking about maybe, and Joris addressed this, do we do waivers, all that kind of thing. You're talking about a team, you know, a kid coming in late to a mm-hmm. situation where everything's already laid out, spots are determined. You got to get them acclimated first to the heat, to the contact, because they haven't been playing. So by the time they get to catch up, they've missed an opportunity here. And I understand it's not an apples-to-apples comparison when you're talking about what the Burbs are doing and what they've got in terms of financially and access to health, you know, medical and all that kind of stuff. It's different, right? But it's in that same vein, right, you're serving, in many cases, impoverished students. In that same vein, there's going to be some of them that really need these opportunities. And so what you'd like to have done is given them the choice to have been real with them. Again, I'm not criticizing the goal or the idea of you're going safety first.
Right.
It's the idea that you were ever going to get there and that you strung these kids along thinking, okay, maybe it changes for me next week. Maybe it changes for me 2 weeks around. Those kids have been out conditioning, just kind of holding on for a season, can't do any contact right now for the hope of, man, we'll get to play like everybody else in the state's doing.
Right.
Well, it's that part of this is ridiculous to me.
Yeah.
Because the goal, the expectation was always unrealistic.
They are putting together.
While admirable, unrealistic.
Well, and to your point, you also hold that standard of single digits if that extends beyond a reasonable amount of time, Jason. You know, that, like you said, it could be a long time.
I mean, I don't know when we get to see with where testing is now, it's increasing. I don't know when we get to single digits or even teens in terms of new cases in Memphis.
Well, the reality is, I mean, the pandemic will be over. I mean, it will not be an issue in our communities anymore if we're in single digits cases. You know, I mean, that's just, you might as well just say when this is all over, we can come back.
Well, it's funny because when we had him on, John, 3 weeks ago, and he said this is the goal, right? We'd like to see single digits or teens for a couple of weeks. Again, not just sports. We're talking about for in person. You and I both looked at each other like almost, huh?
Yep.
And I'll give you credit. You went back at him because it to you and me with tests increasing, isn't it more about a percentage or something? Again, the number that you're looking at there, I'm not sure. But I don't even want to get into all that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Because again, that's what we feel like was an unrealistic goal with where you are. But again, I would say admirable that you're trying to go safety first, right? And you are serving a community that. Let's be real. That for a lot of them, you know, we know this thing. It hits you disproportionately. Folks of color, all that kind of thing. Much of your district, folks of color. I get all that, but be real with them, because we know all the facts. That you were never going to get to. You were never going to get to single digits. You know, never going to get to teens in new cases over 14 straight days, anytime soon. So the stringing them along was unnecessary. In fact, you've cost them, you know, maybe some weeks of being able to be on a field somewhere else, of being, more importantly, like we say, educate, of being in a classroom somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think that's the other part of this, right, is that there seems to me, as someone, you know, who's married to an educator who's in person teaching.
You got the inside view on this.
There seems to be a way for it to occur, right? There seems to be a way for Shelby County Schools. I mean, because that's the most important thing, right? Like, that's the first thing you have to sort of attack is getting kids back in school. But I think, obviously, that, you know, the health. I do pay attention to the daily numbers. Like, I don't know why, but I just do. Every morning, like, Shelby County Health Department's Twitter account at around 10 a.m. Posts the new cases. And I'm invested in it. Like, I watch it every day. And there has been a little bit of an uptick after Labor Day, but there was not as much of one as you probably would have expected with return of school.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, to me, suggests, plus the fact, and again, this is all anecdotal, so I acknowledge that up front, but, you know, no real issues where we are, right? And I think that goes to show you that it can be done while following proper protocols, keeping masks on, smaller class sizes, keeping distance. You do all that, right? You can have school. It's not, that's the science, right? I mean, yes, science tells you that you can't go back to normal. Science tells you that you can't just, you know, everybody get in a big old cafeteria and just congregate and all of that. Science tells you that that's not wise. But science also tells you that it can be accomplished if you do X, Y, and Z, which is happening at schools around the city. Just so happened to not be in Shelby County. So to me, I would sort of really have, what have they said? 9 weeks is the soonest they would reevaluate on virtual versus in person, something along those lines. Like, I would really hope that they revisit that before 9 weeks passes by. And if you do that, then you can start talking about athletics. But they are certainly being very, 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 very cautious.
Yeah, and again, you could come down on that side of it and that be the gist of the criticism, but I think from that standpoint, because like I said, what he's doing is admirable. You're choosing safety. I get all that. And here's where I'm with you. I've been monitoring the numbers too because my kid's school has.
Yep.
And they're deciding, you know what, the numbers are looking better. And so what we're going to do is in a couple of weeks, late September, we're going to go back to in-person learning. Or give you the choice of both still. Back where we were before the outbreak, you know, hit us again. And so we've been on the numbers too. But their goal isn't to get it down to, again, single digits and that kind of. So I'm going to say this. You're sticking to your plan.
Yeah.
And so.
There's that.
I don't want to argue about whether it's, you know, we can say it. I'm hoping my kid gets back there. John, I'm with you. Be nice to get back to in person. My criticism is that you weren't real about that, right? With where your goal was, you need to be real with these kids. So to go back to the point, you give parents and kids a choice. That's my thing. Because, John, I'm not a scientist. I don't have the info. You know, I know he quoted Manoj Jain, Dr.
Right.
Manoj, in terms of it's not safe right now. So I'm giving him that.
Yeah.
But the idea that you were ever going to get back, in person or playing fall sports, which is what these kids were so hoping to have, was ridiculous. This could have been cut off a few weeks ago. Again, to go back to the point, giving parents and children a choice. I tell you, he's sticking to his guns. I understand it's safety first. You don't feel it's safe enough right now for what you've got because, look, I'm sure in terms of resources and that, they don't have what the private schools in some of these suburbs have. I get all that. My whole issue is you knew that 3 weeks ago. That you weren't going to get to this point where you need to be. So you've got to be real, right, with these kids, with these parents, with these coaches. Hey, you got, don't let them have them out there for nothing, in essence. Or more importantly, give them, again, a choice to get to another school for in person or to get to another school to actually play these fall sports. Because, again, I tell you, in some of these situations, these kids need the opportunity, for an athletic scholarship.
Now they're saying that they're going to put together these showcases. Free of charge, right?
Saw our man Shabazz going to try to do something, put together a combine for that and, you know, getting the word out. It's all you can do at this point because, again, they're so far behind. And even if you wanted to give them a waiver to transfer now, they're so far behind already at their new program. First, they're new to the school. They're new to the team. They got to try to win a spot here now that you've moved on into the season.
You
could have gave them that choice, right, the chance to be a part of that 3-4 weeks ago if you told them, look, we're – I need it to be this. I need it to be the single digits or the teens in new cases. We're probably not going to get there in the next 3 to 4 weeks. Looking at where the numbers specifically, when you're talking about 14 straight days of that, so I'm going to give you guys a choice, mm-hmm. and that's the way that this should have been done.
King T'Challa has weighed in, and he's asking me to stop comparing Shelby County schools to Cairo schools because the demographics are not the same. As a product Shelby County schools,
it's a fair point.
I completely know that. Yep. And understand that. But are we saying that we can't provide masks? Are we saying we can't provide masks to Shelby County schools? Come on, of course we can.
No, they're masks in virtual. They've given them a device and all this stuff.
Yeah, but, I mean, I think
because of masks, the
disparity,
I'm sure.
Honestly, because of the disparity, right? That's why I've been very skeptical about virtual learning from the beginning. I just don't think it's going to be effective for the majority of the kids that Shelby County schools is trying to reach. Period, point blank.
That's, again, to the point of should they be back or not.
Absolutely, yes.
Yep.
My whole point is with your goals, you knew you weren't getting back, so let them know. That's you want to stick to your goals, fine. Again.
Yeah, because, I mean, to your point, like there are coaches in Shelby County Schools who have left as head coaches to go be an assistant coach in you know, the suburbs.
Where they are playing.
Because they know they're going to play.
Smart.
Because they know they're and again, like maybe Joris Ray is going to be on the right side of history here.
That's what I'm saying.
And we're going to look back in 5 years and we're going to say, man, it was so prudent for him. He saved so many young lives by not playing sports. But I doubt that. Like, I doubt that. I doubt we're going to be saying that. Like, I don't think that's going to be the case, like, for a variety of reasons. So I guess I would just say that I think there's a way to do both. I think there is a way. Now, on the sports side of it, what would concern me, as I've made the point before, is the testing. I would not like for this thing to be running around sort of unabated. You know, we have no idea who has it, who doesn't. I would like there to be this testing euphoria, this testing explosion that everybody keeps saying is coming. Because that would give me a little pause as a parent, right? Like, I don't have any idea if the school across from me has it or has an outbreak. I mean, right? I mean, that's a natural concern.
It would allow you to make the choice. You know,
that's right.
And we've talked about this for everybody. It's an individual comfort level on how far, because I know people don't want to hear this, and it sounds like you're saying, oh, there's no virus, but it's definitely not the case. We have to, we're living with this thing right now. Okay. And that's the point. With as serious as these times are, you've got to be crystal clear.
Yep.
You can't be stringing along, folks, for the ride. Again, I go back to it. Give them a choice. That's the best way to lead. And it was the plan. Remember, it was the plan. And so that's what I'd say. Stick to your guns. You know, you're the superintendent, the largest district in the state. Get it? It's made up differently than most of the state. Mostly, again, people of kids of color understand that, don't have the same medical access, understand that. But the idea, again, that a week later or 3 weeks from now, we might be at a point, this city, watching the numbers the way we know they have, was going to be down that low was ridiculous. It was fool's gold. And in doing so, you strung them along. And so, again, I go back to choice for those kids in those positions, again, that may not have it, but some do, and some want a chance, John, an opportunity to have a choice. And you've taken that out of their hands by stringing it along. That's the part of this to be criticized to me, more so than, I think they can get school. Because there is that, and Lord knows, like I told you, I want my kid back in, hoping it happens in 2 weeks. But the key is choice. We're getting a choice with my kid's school of whether to be back or not. And Dr. Ray could have given folks, a lot of folks, a choice much earlier, because you were never going to get to those kinds of numbers.
Not until late 2021.
Brother, it could be 2022.
Now, the
single-digit new cases for 14 straight days?
Now Robert Redfield. Open
2021.
Robert Redfield, who is the director of the CDC, did just say on the Senate floor that we're going to have enough vaccines to distribute to Americans, everybody, by the third quarter of next year. That's on the Senate.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, I'll take that.
You like that?
I'll take it. Oof. I'll take, if you tell me third quarter of 2021 or door number two, give me third quarter of 2021,
I hear
brother.
I see what you're saying?
Because we figured out, for the most part, how to adapt. with this.
Right.
Right. We're figuring it out as we go.
Right.
It's not great.
No,
but,
then you got
you know,
pop-ups
it's
everywhere.
Better than it was in March and April.
Good point, John.
You know, so I will take third quarter 2021 to be able to go into a restaurant with my friend Jason Smith.
Man,
and not wear a mask.
I pray we get to a point in 2021 where we've got single digit new cases and new cases in the team. Even the teens. I'll take the teens in 2021.
Yep.
I pray we get there.
Yeah.
I just know it ain't happening anytime soon.
But anyway,
and so did Dr. Ray.
It's a very hot topic for sure. There's a protest today.
Outside the board.
Mario Giannotta was down there. He was down at the protest. So we are going to talk to him about what he saw, what he heard from that protest when we come back. Jason DeJohn, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Hey, it's Key. Coming up Wednesday, my Lakers finally have a Western Conference final opponent. We'll figure out how we can beat them.
Title contender fights for their championship lives. We have NBA playoffs covered with a recap of Game 7 in the West and Game 1 of the Eastern Conference final.
Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin.
Weekday mornings, 5 a.m. till 9 a.m. Live on 92.9 FM, ESPN. No other station has the NFL's Tennessee Titans. The SEC, radio.com, and insiders all over the country, and Memphis and the Mid-South's largest group of local insiders.
With so many new pet owners, Kezia's Grooming can't keep up.
Kezia's Grooming? Sorry, we'll book solid through the weekend. I can give you a call back, though, if something opens up.
It's time to hire.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. The moment you sponsor a job on Indeed, you get a short list of quality candidates from our resume database. Indeed delivers 2.5 times more hires than the other branded job sites combined, according to Breezy HR 2019. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get a $75 credit for your first job post. Terms and conditions apply.
This is you waiting for dinner on an ordinary vacation.
It's a 2-hour wait for a table.
This is you waiting for dinner on a real vacation. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Take the wheel at your nearest RV dealer or at GoRVing.com.
Injured? Dial #529 on your cell. Pound law, that's all.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
Giannotto is sports columnist for the Commercial Appeal. He's a host of the Giannotto and Jeffrey Show. You can catch it every weekday here on 92.9 FM ESPN. He joins every Wednesday. He joins us now. Mark, you were down there at the protest. What was it, in front of the Board of Education? What was the scene?
It was really interesting. Honestly, it was heartbreaking listening to these kids. I mean, there were over 100 mostly football players, it seemed, and then some parents as well. I mean, but they were from all over the city. Mitchell, Cordova, Kirby, White Station, Germantown, Whitehaven, Melrose. Like, every part of the city seemed to be represented. And, you know, these kids are heartbroken. And I was listening. I left a little while ago, and I was listening to Jason, and I think Jason is hitting it on the head in that, you know, I think they're upset with the decision, partly because they see everyone else around them playing sports, whether it's the suburban schools or peewee football or AAU basketball, you know, like, you know, grassroots basketball. Everything else is going on but Shelby County school sports, and then, you know, the entire state, obviously, as well. And I actually don't think that necessarily is, just because everyone else is doing it doesn't mean Shelby County should be doing it, but it does mean Shelby County, it's incumbent on them to explain what they are doing in a transparent way. And it means you have to go above and beyond in terms of explaining this to people. It means, for instance, when you release a video, which Dr. George Ray did yesterday, you know, he said in the video, for instance, that all contact sports were being postponed. Well, in actuality,
it's all fall
sports were being postponed.
Mm-hmm.
cross country and golf included. You know, things that you would think, you know, you could probably pull off much more easily than football or even volleyball. For instance, today, to follow it up, he puts out an infographic. Shelby County Schools and Dr. George Wright put out an infographic on social media about, here's the facts about what we're doing. Here's what we have. And then it goes into, we are planning opportunities for these kids to be showcased for college recruiters. Because that's one of the big things that people have said. These kids, predominantly African-American, predominantly, you know, a lot of low-income African-Americans are being adversely affected by this decision. You know, they're missing out on an opportunity to get out of Memphis. That's what a lot of kids I talked to, they said, like, football is my avenue to get out of Memphis. And you've had 6 months. You should be spelling out exactly what opportunities you're going to be providing these kids in lieu of postponing fall sports. Like, what have you been doing over the past 6 months? And so I don't know if it's the right decision. I know it's probably not a wrong decision to postpone fall sports. Like, I've been kind of skeptical on it from the get-go in that these high schools aren't testing these kids. And so we don't know, you know, like right now, high school football is going on around the area. And really there's only been, it seems like, one outbreak sort of, and it was at Collierville. And the rest of the schools around here, the suburban schools and private schools, seems to be going okay. But ultimately, like, if we're being totally honest with ourselves, they're not testing the kids. So right. We don't. It just means no one's gotten sick. You know, no one. But there could be asymptomatic cases all over the place. We don't know. And so that's why I don't think it's a wrong decision. But it reminds me a lot of the Big Ten, like. The communication on it has been just horrible. And you owed it to these parents to do a better job at communicating what you were doing. And I think, Jason, you said right, they strung them along. And I don't know if this was their motive, but the motive to it, what it says to me, and this is just me speculating, them stringing these kids along just tells me they wanted to keep these kids in Shelby County schools and not have them leave the school system. Now, I don't know if that's true, but the way they went about it, it leaves that open. It makes people think that. And so I just think it's been a poor execution of what I think is actually like not a bad decision by Shelby County Schools. Like, ultimately, we were at a protest. I was at a protest this morning in which these football players were protesting Shelby County Schools adhering to the recommendation of the Shelby County Health Department. That, like, when you get down to it, that's what Shelby County Schools did, but they did such a poor job at managing the communication of how they were coming to that decision, why they're, you know, not just, you know, like, and what they're going to do in lieu of that decision, that I don't blame these kids for feeling the way they feel at all. Like, hearing their stories today, you can't feel anything but heartbroken because, you know, of all the kids in this community, these kids probably need high school football the most or high school sports the most.
See, that I'm right with you, Mark, and I'm reading a tweet as I'm listening to you, and it's from Earl in the Morning. Says, taking kids out of SES, to that point about why, right, why you would string them along. Taking kids out of SES also messes with school populations. Less children means less funding and fired teachers. And to that I would say, sort of along the lines of you did, is stringing them along then the right answer, right? Because if there's anything we could really use and really need in terms of in 2020, like you said, is transparency, but honesty. Right. And the honesty here that was missed was, and they were transparent about this, our goal for in-person and for sports is to get cases, new cases in Memphis, down to the teens, down to the single digits for 14 straight days. Mark, that was never going to happen. So essentially, if it becomes about funding and keeping them in, stringing them along ain't the answer. That's poor leadership.
Just say that. Like,
exactly.
It's reasonable. Like, we don't want to
rather than pulling
funding,
the wool down. Right. Right.
Yeah, like, don't pretend these people are stupid because they're not, you know? Like, There was,
that's
you
where
know,
I'm at.
I met like the captains of the Mitchell High School football team. Like, these are smart kids. Like, they were like asking me questions about what do I think, and you know, they get, you know, and then the young man who organized this, Caleb Almo from Kirby High School. I mean, he gave an impassioned speech about, and he was citing different statistics about how basically, and you know, I'll have to double check his stats, but I'm going to trust him that he did his research. Like, he basically said, in terms of kids their age in these communities, you know, they're more likely to get shot than they are to contract coronavirus or be hospitalized by coronavirus. So you need to explain to them, here's why we're doing this, and they haven't done an adequate job. Like, I'm not saying Caleb is right to compare the two things, but I think he's right to bring that up as a question that the school board, that the Shelby County school system should be answering to these kids and these families.
Are you of the mind that they should be back in school in person, Mark?
I don't know. I mean, I know there's other school systems that are able to do it. I don't actually, like, I have no problem with the decision, with whether, you know, like, I'm not privy to the data that they have. But they should be sharing that data. Like, the reason there's a protest today is because people are going, what do they know that we don't know? Because what we know right now is the rest of the state is allowed to do this. The suburbs are allowed to do this. Private schools are allowed to do this. And we're not. And they have not, it has not been adequately explained to them why they are not. All Dr. George Ray said in that video essentially was, you know, we're going to listen to the science and the data, and we're going to trust that. And that's a reasonable way to go about it. But, like, what exactly is it really just – because he didn't mention we need to get down to single-digit cases and double – or teens cases yesterday. Like, what is a reasonable goal that – or a reasonable metric that these families can be shooting for? Is it really just single digit cases? Then you need to explain why that's your goal and why that's not the goal for the rest of the state. So again, I would say that just because everyone else is playing football I actually don't think that's a reason just to play football, but it is a reason why you have to explain it to the fullest extent you can, not just give vague platitudes about protecting the health and safety of the students. You need to tell them metrically, here's what we're doing, why we're doing it, and I think you would avoid some of this, you know, the backlash that they're taking.
We are, of course, talking to Mark Giannotto. Join us every single Wednesday. You can read him at commercialappeal.com. Listen to him on Giannotto and Jeffrey. The Big Ten's back, man. Do you have a Big Ten shirt on? Are you going to rock that today? Usually, you rock the ACC Network shirt when they do something in the news. Will you have the Big Ten shirt on today?
I don't have a Michigan shirt or a Big Ten shirt on today, but I'm pleasantly surprised. I did not think this day would happen. I figured they would stick to their guns, so to speak. But it seems like they have a good plan in place. Like, I think what people are overlooking is they have a much more – it seems like their protocols are going to be much more stringent than the rest of the country's protocols in terms of percentage of cases in the communities where the schools are that would prevent a team from playing. Like, ultimately, I think as of today, there are several schools – if we're going by what the Big Ten put out there now, several schools that wouldn't be allowed to play still because of the transmission rate, the positivity rate in their communities at the moment. So, I mean, it seems like they're doing daily testing. It seems like it's a plan that, you know, I hope it works. And I think it seems like as responsible a plan as you can come up with. I'm surprised that they reversed course like this, but, you know, they were getting pressured to do so, and hopefully they can do it responsibly and safely, and the plan they came up with seems reasonable enough to me.
You think they get 8 games in 8 weeks? Like, is there enough, you know, is there enough room to play there with time? And I ask that for this, because if there's not and you have to postpone, like we've seen a lot of programs have to do, what if the Big Ten's playing 6 games or 7 games? Is that going to be enough to get them in a college football playoff? What do you think? Do they really get 8 games in 8 weeks?
I think that is going to be a discussion we have, because I don't think they get – like, we've seen it all over the country. There's no way every big – all 15 Big Ten teams are going to play every game. There's just no way. I don't see – we've seen it here in Memphis. We've seen it all over the country that postponements are inevitable during all of this. And again, when you add in the more stringent protocols that they have in terms of – where, you know, whereas like here in Memphis or here in other parts of the country, the SEC, the Big 12, the ACC, them playing a game is not contingent on what's the percent, the positivity rate in their community. If you look at what the Big Ten has put out there today, part of the contingency of these teams playing a game is contingent on, is our community at a certain, is below, I believe, 7.5% positivity rate. And I find it, you know, I am skeptical that that will be the case every, you know, for 8 weeks straight somewhere. Maybe it will. But I suspect, Jason, that we could be running into an issue where we're debating, you know, does 6-0 Wisconsin, because Wisconsin, for instance, has a 13.5% positivity rate right now, I believe. Does 6-0 Wisconsin deserve to be in the college football playoff? Because they beat Ohio State or something like that. Like, I think we could be in store for a debate like that.
Yeah. We are, of course, talking to Mark Giannotto, who joins us every single Wednesday here on the show. Listen, we would not be able to do this segment if we did not at least sort of ask you one question about the bus and about the entire sort of story from last week. We have to do it, Mark. I mean,
I totally understand.
But you have stood by your reporting, and I just wanted to confirm that as of Wednesday, September 16th, you are still doing so.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with what we reported. I'm comfortable with the process we went about. I'm comfortable with the sourcing we used, and like I said on our show yesterday, ultimately, we did not make the phrase "party bus" out of thin air.
Right.
It is the phrase that a high-ranking Memphis official used with the AAC's COVID-19 medical advisory board when they were asked about what caused the football team's uptick in positive cases. That's why we wrote in our story that is what this was attributed to. We also then, after when O'Brien Goodson said it wasn't true, we printed that. And when Ryan Silverfield, refuted the party bus part of the story, we wrote every single word he put out there. But we do stand behind our reporting and what we reported on Friday. And like I said, I'm comfortable with what we reported and with our sourcing on it. And I'm also comfortable with the fact that most Memphis Tiger football fans don't really care what I'm comfortable with at this point.
Well, that's definitely true.
It is what it is.
You've carved a real niche for yourself, Mark. I got to tell you.
I'm proud of you.
You've carved a real niche. You're like Andy Kaufman, you know. You're like the Andy Kaufman of sports columnists here. I mean, I give you credit for that, because it seems like a role you are built to play. I'm not going to lie to you. You have pretty thick skin.
I'm not really trying to play a role. I just go about my job and do the report and write and opinionize, I guess, the best I can, and as accurately as I possibly can. And it's probably a little different than other people in the market, and that's just, you know, and if people view me a certain way because of that, you know, so be it. I mean, like, I'm not in this to win a popularity contest, John. I'm in this to just write the best stories I can and write and talk about Memphis sports and the issues surrounding the city sports scene. I love it in the city. I haven't really checked my mentions the past couple days. I'm sure I've been told they're awful. like people really ragging on me. But even with all of that, like I love it here. Like I love the sports scene. I love the sports fans here, and no story is going to change that. No reaction to a story is going to change that. And I understand why people are upset with me, because what we've reported is, you know, is being refuted by the Memphis football coach. And I understand why they would side with the Memphis football coach, because they are,
right.
You know, I get it. I get it. And so it is what it is at this point. And I understand, like I said, I understand the reaction I'm getting.
I do think there are some people out there who have waited on this, who have exposed themselves as being up for the job of being like the PR man for North Korea. There's some people out there who have definitely looks like they're going for that job. I'm gonna be honest with you, the way that they have weighed in on this story. But we appreciate the time as always, Mark. Thanks for coming on, man. We'll be listening.
No problem, guys.
Yep. Is Mark Giannotto joins us every single Wednesday here on the show. Appreciate his time. All right, we will come back. Lots more to get to. We got to talk about what happened last night in the NBA. It was a collapse of epic proportions for the Los Angeles Clippers. Once upon a time, a bitter rival of the Grizzlies. Now nobody really seems to care. I will say, like, there used to be this great passion, this great fervor with any time the Clippers played. Whether it was against the Grizz or not, it was like there was like a real rooting interest in hoping they fail. That seems to have waned.
Yeah,
and I get it.
It's not the Chris Paul Clippers,
but like
anymore.
You know, like
it's not the Blave and the Blake Griffin.
But it goes
the fight
like
with Z-Bo.
There are, the it's great different. Rivalries persist, right? The great rivalries they last. You know,
yeah, hopefully you're about to have one with the Pelicans.
But
last a little while.
I think we can say it was a good rivalry, but it wasn't a great one because nobody really cares anymore.
Agreed.
And that's a product I get.
Good for its time.
But I mean,
ran its course.
In the NFL, right? There are, and I get that
divisions. You gotta be good, right? That's the.
But
other
don't you think, for example, like when the Browns and the Steelers play, whether they're both good or not, like you know what I mean? There's still a hatred there. When you play the Packers, whether you're good or not,
oh well, that I mean, that's absolutely there. There's a hatred, sure, but does that make people want to watch? Does it draw the entire nation when the Bears suck? The rivalry
no,
isn't
but
as
I'm
good.
Saying, even those
that's
fan
essentially
bases.
The deal with what happened. With
yeah,
the
I was saying even those fan. I think both fan bases have just moved on. That's fine.
And like, more so when the cast of characters change in basketball because there are fewer than obviously football. I think that the narrative can change drastically as well. So you take Chris, you take Blake Griffin, two guys you love to hate off the Clippers, it can be a little bit tougher to hate them.
Yeah.
But that can come back, John. I see you long for the days of that Clippers-Grizzlies rivalry. Maybe in another, maybe in another 3-4 years.
Well, I enjoy
your natural rival is going to be the Pelicans. Get ready for it. Like, buckle up. That should be good based on where their franchise is and where Memphis is in terms of the next few years and their growth.
Yeah.
Maybe even get one with Dallas. We'll see.
Maybe so. That'd be nice. I'd enjoy that a lot. We'll come back. Lots more to come. Jason and John, RDTurnFM, ESPN.
Hey there. As you're driving right now, take note of the vehicle in front of you. Are you a safe distance behind? Are you approaching too fast? Can you stop in time if a collision is about to happen? There's a lot to keep track of in order to drive safely, and that's where the 2020 Chevy Equinox can help you. With automatic emergency braking with forward collision alert, now standard on all 2020 Equinox models. Right now, get 15% of MSRP cash back on most 2020 Equinox models, plus current competitive owners can get an additional $750 cash allowance. Excludes L models. Must be a current owner of a 2006 model year or newer non-GM vehicle for at least 30 days prior to the new vehicle sale. Not available with special financing, lease, and some other offers. Take new retail delivery by 9/30/20. Driver is responsible for operating the vehicle in a safe manner at all times. Certain conditions may affect feature performance. See owner's manual for important limitations and information. Visit Jim Kara Chevrolet, your Mid-South Chevy dealer.
I'm United States Surgeon General Jerome Adams, America's doctor. And all across our nation, we've taken steps together to slow the spread of coronavirus. Now we must continue to take personal responsibility to protect ourselves and our loved ones. Because even though not all of us risk a severe case of coronavirus, we all risk getting it and spreading it to others. Maybe without even realizing that we're sick. So if we want to get back to school, back to work, back to worship, and back to overall health, there are things our country needs to do. We need to follow state and local guidelines. Take extra precautions if at higher risk. Wash our hands frequently. Stay 6 feet from others when we can. And when we can't stay 6 feet from others, please, I'm begging you, wear a face covering. These small actions will make a big difference. So I'm asking you to say it with me, America. Coronavirus stops with me. You can learn more at coronavirus.gov.
Produced by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services at taxpayer expense.
Hi, this is Wes McClooney, owner of the New Balance Memphis store. If you're average and you're looking for a new pair of running or walking shoes, I suggest you go to an average shoe store, where they'll sell you a pair of average shoes built for the average athlete with average size feet. But here's the thing. You're not average. No one is. We all exercise differently. We run differently and walk differently. And our feet come in all sorts of widths and lengths. That's why at the New Balance Memphis store, we employ fit specialists who will conduct an in-depth analysis of your foot's size and shape along with your gait, and then determine the best New Balance shoes custom fit to you. Because New Balance isn't your average shoe, and you're not average either. Experience the difference an unaverage custom fit makes today at the New Balance Memphis store, located in Cordova Shopping Center on Germantown Parkway behind the Outback Steakhouse. New Balance Memphis, your feet will thank you.
So are you the type of guy that wants to look put together but doesn't want to spend hours shopping? I hear you. This is why there's Stitch Fix, your personal styling service that delivers hand-picked clothes right to you. Stitch Fix is simple and convenient. Sign up in just a few minutes. Try new styles in the comfort of your own home, and there's no subscription required ever. So, isn't it time to refresh your look? Get started today at stitchfix.com. Stitch Fix, personal styling for everybody.
This is time that matters. A window of time to help protect the ones you love. Your preteen benefits from staying up to date with their well visits. This is your window of protection. Schedule their well visit now. Brought to you by Merck.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
Yeah. I was working part-time in a five and dime. My boss was Mr. McGee. He told me several times that he didn't like my kind, cause I was a bit too leisurely.
Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Little Prince for you on your Wednesday. Miss him. Miss him every day.
I love that video.
I don't think I've ever seen it. I don't think I've ever
like
seen it.
Looks like they dance in the sky.
But to close out hour number one, I want to give you a little bit of hope. What I see as hope. And that is that the United States, at least the CDC believes, will have enough COVID vaccines to return to regular life by the third quarter of next year. Now, some of you may hear that and say, man, that's a long time. But I tell you, it's really not that far away. It's only about a year. And things will continue to get better over the next year, whereas I think in March and April of this year, we had no idea.
That's very true.
What the future held.
How long, where the light was at the end of the tunnel.
Absolutely.
All that kind of stuff.
And I think
no
there,
indication.
I think there is now some light at the end of the tunnel. There was a time where we wondered, would there be a vaccine at all? Would it work? We have, you know, clearly at this point we have enough shots on goal. So I've picked up all the vernacular of you know, Dr. Fauci and all of the medical experts. But we have enough shots on goal with vaccines here in the United States and around the globe that we will find several candidates that are safe and, you know, and efficient. And we will get back to concerts and we will get back to sports with fans. And that will happen probably next year. So, you know, we've already lost this one. When you look back and you're on your deathbed and you're thinking about your life, 2020 is going to be the lost year. It just is. I'm sorry. It's just a year where you're going to have to chalk it up, Jason. But 2021 doesn't have to be. And it doesn't sound like it will be. And so that is that. I perceive it as good news. Do you perceive that as good news?
Yeah, man, dude, over 190,000 people are dead.
Well, I know, like
you know, in 6 months.
Yes, it's terrible.
So absolutely, it's good news.
It's terrible.
You know, there's that part of this too is life, man, and trying to get back to, you know, some sense of I say some sense of normal, but it feels like it's never going to be the same again. I know that sounds, you know, profound, not meaning to be, but it's true. We're going to live different for quite a while here, even when once the vaccine, John, is introduced and getting around. We're still going to be living different, still going to be people in masks, all that kind of thing.
Well, so here's actually what I think is something that's good that could come out of the pandemic, right? In Asia, right?
I know what
in
you're about
Hong
to say.
Hong Kong and some other places.
How they use masks.
There is a custom where if you're not feeling well, you wear a mask, right?
I'm aware.
And it's just something that you do. Well, we probably should, if we did that in America, then we would probably go a long way towards stamping out the flu. Our flu numbers would go down. And we could, I mean, so to me, that's
going to be a positive that comes out, a silver lining, I guess.
I think there are absolutely going to be people.
There will still be people
forward.
Say, what the hell? You got a mask on for the virus is over.
Light sore throat, just maybe not.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.